Today on Gateway Unlocked.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everything that we do is driven by data. We have to have data at the heart of everything that we run within MasterCard. You know, we really do see data as an asset really within this organization. And how we treat that asset is absolutely vital, you know, to the trust that we have with our customers, the trust we have, you know, with the wider market, and ensuring that, you know, we use that data, you know, for the right purposes, but also to see how we can really truly add value to our customers and how we deliver world-leading products, you know, by using that data to enhance and build further on the great products that we provide to our customers today.
Hi, and welcome to Gateway Unlocked, MasterCard Payment Gateway's podcast, where we connect with teammates from across the globe and organization on payment trends, innovation, and ideas that are shaping our business. I'm Anne Herrera, and today we're talking about the importance of payment data for our industry, partners, and product development. To discuss this topic, I'm joined by Jeff Brown, our Director of Data Enablement and Analytics. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the table today. How are you doing?
Thanks, Anne. Yeah, I'm really well, thank you. Really well. So my name is Jeff Brown. As you rightly say, I'm Director for Data Analytics for MPGS. I'm based here out of London. My role really sort of within MasterCard is focused on creating the right foundation for our organization with data and looking at how we take data on a day-to-day basis and utilize that to add value internally and to both our customers externally.
That's very exciting, and I'm glad that you've definitely joined the team. And I think you have a very important role with how we, as you said, present data to our partners to help them with their business objectives and really just understand the industry around data. You know, we've had a lot of fun topics here on the podcast this year, but we've talked a lot about payments. But at the end of the day, even when we're talking about payments, what we really are talking about is data, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think everything that we do is driven by data. We have to have data at the heart of everything that we run within MasterCard. You know, we really do see data as an asset really within this organization, and how we treat that asset is absolutely vital, you know, to the trust that we have with our customers, the trust we have, you know, with the wider market, and ensuring that, you know, we use that data, you know, for the right purposes, but also to see how we can really truly add value to our customers and how we deliver world-leading products, you know, by using that data to enhance and build further on the great products that we provide to our customers today.
There was an amazing stat that I had read about in Forbes, really about the growth of data and why, you know, roles such as yours and making sure that our partners understand how to use their data is so essential. And it said, data interactions went up by 5,000% between 2010 and 2020. And that was from a Forbes article. And, you know, I'm seeing that and the importance of data to really drive business decisions.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely spot on. I think that, you know, even within MasterCard, you know, I think that, you know, Craig Vosburg, you know, back when he set the vision out for the start of this year, you know, said to engineer the future of commerce, unleashing the power of payments, data, and technology, you know, to enrich lives, you know, is absolutely what we should be doing. And I think, you know, it's great to see something like data being used by, you know, the senior leadership within this organization, showing how we can unlock the power of the payments industry. And I think that, you know, that I love a good stat, and, you know, the Forbes one's great. And I'll counter it with another stat from McKinsey, which was that, you know, data-driven businesses are 77% more likely to successfully exceed their business goals. And I think that when you truly unleash the power of that data into the organization, whether that be on an internal basis or on an external basis working with our partners, you know, the value that you're able to drive from the insight that you can derive from it, is ultimately powerful. And I think any organization these days, I think, you know, really, you know, should be putting data at the heart of what they do to help drive those conversations. And I think that, you know, in that sort of vein, you know, there is a real need to ensure that, you know, we work closely with our partners externally to understand how they can use that data to enhance their own organizations and how they can enhance the power of their payments off the back of the data that we can help them provide to run their organizations.
Yeah, no, all very valid points. And I mean, of course, there's data from everything. I mean, think of all the interactions and how quickly a person can be, you know, creating data based off of our actions online, you know, social, et cetera. But I found it interesting in preparing for this conversation with you about payment data and why it was always, you know, underused and underutilized, really. You know, we see data in everything, marketing, but perhaps data in payments is slightly new to the forefront.
I think data in payments, I think one of the things to say, we have a lot of data. You know, we receive a lot of data when we process these transactions. I think the struggle that you always have with data is how do you utilize that to drive the value? There are many companies out there that utilize payments data today to drive things like loyalty. And I think, you know, that's an absolutely key area. You know, that I think, you know, organizations, you know, at the consumer side use that payment data to really drive, you know, how those customers interact, you know, how they really, you know, I think I saw a stat the other day that I think something like 42% of millennials, you know, want brands to track their spend because they really want to see and understand how, you know, they can get the value from the data that's being utilized from their payments. The point that I'm trying to make is that the plethora of information that we have when it comes to payment data is incredibly valuable. And that's why, you know, we have to be really, really careful about, you know, how we store, how we use that data, which is also why we have to be really, really clear about how we work with our partners externally to utilize that information. And as I said, you know, well, I think there's a WorldPay report that said, you know, 42% of millennials you know, want brands to be able to track their spend, because they want to be able to gain the value back from the data that's being utilized. And as you see that trend start to grow, you know, organization, the power of the data that we put into the hands of organizations, it really allows them to really hone in on how they can improve and drive their product.
I think that's an astonishing number. 42% of millennials, you know, want their data to be tracked by brands in regards to spend. Obviously, I'm not a millennial. Wish I was that young still. But you know, why do you think that? Because one of the things that I've always find intriguing about data is, you know, who owns the data, how it's used, and what is the comfort level? Are you finding that the comfort level based off of that stat is changing? Are more people recognizing you're going to use my data and it's acceptable use? And understand that you're speaking as an individual and not as MasterCard.
Sure. So I think as an individual, I think people want more control of their data and understand how that data is used. So I think people are happy to have that data used if they understand what it's being used for. And they have control of the rights and access to that data to understand how it is being utilized. And so I think, you know, I think the control of the data is becoming a much bigger piece of the conversation that we have. And, you know, speaking as a MasterCard employee, you know, absolutely, you know, when we negotiate our contracts with our customers, you know, data rights is absolutely one of the things that, you know, we have to ensure that we clearly understand, that, you know, we understand how those customers want to see their data treated. Obviously, we treat it in line with the MasterCard policies. But, you know, how those customers want to see that data shared, where it's shared, what we're allowed to do with it, how we're allowed to interact with that data, is obviously tightly controlled. You know, and as speaking again as a consumer, you know, I think, you know, it's important that I think, you know, as a consumer, you know, you believe that your data is being treated with the right respect and the right controls in place. But I think that if, you know, if you truly understand what that looks like and you can truly understand the value that you can drive from it, then, you know, and you can see, you perceive as a consumer that you're being able to gain the value from that data that, you know, that comes in a tangible form of discounts or vouchers or money off, or rewards, or flights, etc. You know, flight discounts, you know, based off things like Avios or Air Miles, or however they come these days. You know, if you're perceiving that value that you're receiving for your data off the back of it as a consumer, then you know you're probably more comfortable to be able to be in a position to say, yes, I'm willing to share that data. But I think when it starts to become more of a blurred line, and I think you start to see, you know, your data being tracked, you know, tracked independently by, you know, various websites, and you know how that sort of it starts to interact, yeah, that's when I think you feel like as a consumer you're losing control of that. And I think the power and the control of your data sits very much with the consumer. And those consumers will drive ultimately what the organizations and companies that we work with will then drive into their own data policies, which then feed down into ourselves. And so as we see that sort of that ecosystem of data sort of evolving, I think, you know, we'll see more and more. I think those organizations looking more and more closely at how we as an organization are able to interact with that data, but also how we can also show them back to companies, how we can provide that value of the data to enable them to better serve their customer base.
Yeah, that's brilliant. You know, and I'm glad you're definitely at the helm of this, is not someone like me for sure. So we know that the future is data rich. You know, it's just, we look everywhere and there's data on how we interact, how we pay. It's a wonderful opportunity, definitely to improve loyalty. So let's talk about that evolution of the payments and of the payments data. We've gone from cash to check to card, and now we've got a payment data strategy with modern payments. How are you seeing this new? And we've seen Craig Vosburg, you know, lay out our data strategy from MasterCard as a whole, but internally into MPGS, how are we seeing this strategy influence our interactions with our customers?
Sure, I think it's really interesting. I think if you look at the usage of cash and check and those types of payment methods, you know, they've massively declined. You know, cash dropped, I think it was 32% in the last year in the United Kingdom, which is a huge drop. And obviously things like COVID have had an impact on that. You know, we've seen massively, I think it was the opposite stat is, you know, over a quarter now of all card transactions in the UK are contactless.
Wow.
You know, which is a huge amount, and we continue to see those grow. Now, fundamentally, you know, that's physically a card transaction for us still. But I think as we see these new types of payments sort of come in, as we look at things like, you know, point of sale financing, so buy now, pay later. As we look at, you know, how will customers want to interact with that? You know, the flexibility of payment methods, you know, those are the things that consumers want these days. They want that flexibility to be able to, you know, pay for their goods over a longer period of time. Yeah, and we need to be, you know, we in the payments industry need to be able to report on, you know, how that flows through into our systems, how we manage those payments. But also, you know, being able to report back out to these organizations on how these interactions are working. And I think the other area that, you know, I think, you know, we see sort of massively expanding is the omni experience. So the ability to go and buy goods online and then go into a shop and pick those goods up or vice versa. You know, I think, you know, that creates certainly a number of different challenges for us as an organization in terms of how we manage and control that data, you know, how we ensure those flows are accurate, and that, you know, the customers are able, that our customers, you know, the banks and the acquirers and the large merchants that we work with are able to track and understand, you know, how that is flowing through their ecosystem. You know, and as we move into the future of things like open banking, you know, again, it's really interesting to see how, you know, the likes of that, you know, we'll be able to run these things across our rails. And, you know, very much, you know, MPGS is you know, very much, you know, here to enable these different types of payment methods. But yeah, I think, you know, what it does do is show the wide ranging ability we have as a gateway, you know, to process these types of transactions, but also to then be able to provide the data off the back to enable our customers to really truly understand how we can drive that added value back into their organizations.
You made some really good points, especially with open banking. We actually had an open banking podcast just before you that went live with Cecilia and Diego, and also just like you, brilliant colleagues. You hit on so many fun things, I think. One of them was, you know, the ensuring that we have, you know, clean, trusted data. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Sure. I think, you know, when we think about data, you know, we think about data and the different types of data that we sort of hold. So, you know, I think there's a number of different key areas of data that we look after. So we have transactional data, personal data, operational data, corporate data, and identity data. Now, obviously, you know, each of those, you know, come with different challenges for us as an organization to be able to utilize and understand. And obviously, you know, we follow closely the PII and PCI guidelines in terms of how we deal and store that data, who has access data, and how it's managed. You know, but I think that, you know, what we really need to remember is that, you know, data is a core asset for our organization. You know, and it's really vital that we ensure that we have the appropriate safeguards around our data to ensure that we have the appropriate uses for it. And I think that as we drive forward with, you know, with our data strategy and our data policies, you know, I think how we are able to safely use that data for the right purposes is absolutely vital for us as an organization. You know, we will only ever really use data within our organization to really drive and hone our products, you know, to really ensure that we're providing a better service and a better outcome for our customers. And then work closely with our customers to see how we can work with them to put the data into their hands for them to be able to drive their organization successfully. You know, if it doesn't fall inside those two use cases, then ultimately we don't need to store that data, and therefore we won't hold on to it.
That makes complete sense. There was a presentation of yours that I was listening to, and it was a perfect analogy that you look at the data like Legos, like building blocks. And in the beginning, they are, you know, really a mess, very similar to what my son's Legos tables look like right now. I think it's fantastic. And I think it's fascinating how you can take all of this different data that you've just kind of elaborated on and can make tangible insights, you know, to our partners and to our customers.
Yeah, absolutely. I really do love the Lego analogy. I think, I think if you think about that pile of data that sat on your son's table at the moment, we'd call that unstructured, right? You know, there isn't much structure in place. And as you start to sort of move through, you can start putting the blocks into the same sorts of piles, and then you can start sorting them in the same sorts of colors. And ultimately, you know, if you get to the point where you really understand truly all the little bits and pieces of Lego that you have, you know, you can build a car, you can build a house, and that, I guess, that sells a story. And I guess that's where we're trying to get to whenever we talk about data, is really being able to move from that unstructured look and feel of the data to really take us to a point where we can tell that story with the data. And I think that we can only do that by really understanding, you know, the different types of use cases that we have for our data, but also, you know, working really closely with our, you know, with our partners inside the organization, you know, to see how we can, you know, drive and add value to them to deliver and enhance our products, but also then work closely with, you know, with our external partners to understand how we can, you know, how we can build those houses and cars or whatever type of thing you can build out of Lego with them, to really help paint that picture of how they can build that story and sell that story into their organizations about how they can better use their data. Because as I said, like we have huge piles of Lego data sat, you know, all around our organization, that, you know, safely secured, of course, but, you know, sat there waiting to be utilized. And I think that, you know, if we get those use cases right and we work closely with our partners and our customers internally and externally, there's a huge amount of value and storytelling that we can do with that data as we move forward. I think the power of those stories that we can tell with that are immensely powerful. And if we do that correctly with our partners, you know, have the ability to drive, you know, tremendous value for both MasterCard and for our partners across the world.
I'm glad. And thank you for reminding me. It's unstructured data, and because I always just call it a data mess. And you know, I'm in marketing, and sometimes that's what I look like, is like, I've got a data mess, you know, and trying to, like you said, extrapolate the stories from it. And since we love our quotes, I remember reading an article that said 95% of businesses cite the need to manage unstructured data as a problem for their business. And that 80 to 90% of the data we generate every day is actually unstructured. So how are we doing this for our clients? Are we are we doing kind of like a one size fits all? Do we see regional differences on what data that they want? What are some of the important pieces of data that we're circulating to the top that have been impactful for our partners?
I think it's a great question. I think, you know, how we work and how we interact with our key stakeholders, be that internally or externally, is absolutely vital to the success of our product. As we move forward and as we expand, you know, the use cases of our data, you know, with our external partners, I think, you know, ensuring that they're empowered to use their data is absolutely vital. How we put that data into their hands, I think, you know, is really important as well, and how we're transferring and safely managing the storage of that data. You know, as we work closely with our partners, you know, over the coming years, as we drive forward, you know, ensuring that, you know, that the consistency of flow of data, but also structuring it in the right way that they can access it, you know, easily and accessibly, through the right sort of portals to enable them to be able to make business related decisions for themselves will become more and more key.
So would you say that, you know, the future of data is immense? Would you say that, you know, we are really utilizing all the data, or are there just so many unlimited possibilities that to quote, the data is priceless in what we can continue to build?
Yeah, I think when integrated, you know, into a cohesive business strategy, data is going to absolutely drive the business forward at a faster pace. And it goes back, go back to that McKinsey quote we said earlier, right? It's going to accelerate that process. And I think as we move forward, you know, we haven't probably, you know, unlocked the power of our data as yet to its full potential. I'm not sure how many organizations, you know, truly fully unlock 100% of the potential of all the data they have. But I think even if we unlock 50% of the data that we have, you know, we will end up accelerating our own platform and our own products forward at a much faster rate than we do today. And I think that, you know, as we move forward over time, you know, the data that we have, I think, will become, you know, more granular and enable us to give deeper and more meaningful insight. And how we manage and control that, and how we interact that with our customers, you know, becomes even more important. And those use cases around, you know, how and when we can use that data to do various different tasks, and how to really create that structure for the organizations that we work with, will become more and more prevalent in the marketplace.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially as it helps us really achieve our, you know, our overall MasterCard goal of what, frictionless, safe, seamless, and secure payments. And I think we see that even with click to pay, don't we? Or with the click to pay data.
Yeah, I mean, click to pay, ultimately, from a data perspective, it's just a payment. So I guess obviously it's not for recording, but click to pay. Like, we just see it as a, I think this is part of the challenge, right? Is that, you know, we have so many different types of payment methods that actually, you know, how we perceive that and see that as a transaction, I think we're great at enabling these products and pushing them out into the marketplace. But ultimately, at the end of the day, a lot of these come down to they are a payment, they are a card payment. And actually the differentiation, I think what we're great at as an organization is providing multiple rails for us for our customers to transact and manage their payments across our ecosystem. You know, be that click to pay, be that buy now, pay later, be that omnichannel, be that QR codes in a restaurant, you can go and order, you know, your food, and you scan the menu and you pay. You know, all of these are, you know, the various different types of payment methods that are enabled, but fundamentally it all comes down to transactions, and we capture that data in the same way across all of those pieces. So I think it's, you know, being able to differentiate between those and how do we really understand and sell that value back to our customers so that they can see the channels that they're transacting through. You know, it's no use to a customer if everything we stick on a piece of paper when we send them a bill says, oh, congratulations, you did 42 million car transactions last month. But, you know, what they really want to know is that, you know, you did 2 million buy now, pay later transactions. You did, you know, and really start to interrogate the data that sits behind that and understand the trends for them about how they can, you know, how they can really drive you know, acceptance and drive the outcomes that are better for them as an organization. And so I think that, you know, it's hard for us sometimes as an organization from a data perspective to say, you know, that one payment is different to another payment. So that creates huge amounts of data. And as we work through that data, you know, it's absolutely key that, you know, we take out those key insights for our customers to be able to understand how those calls are working, what are they driving, how does that payment flow into their organization, what does that payment mean for them, and how does that data that we can show them going to enhance the value they can offer their organization, but also how we can take that data and how we can interact and make our products better. How do we interact with, you know, with those products and really ensure that we drive the value for our customers out of the data that we're providing?
Well, that's exciting. I mean, that really is. I'm totally geeking out on the fact that we get to talk about data for a while. And I love that you brought up trends, and even micro trends can really be seen within data. And I just, you know, want to pause. It's the peak holiday shopping season. You know, have you found that our customers are looking closer at data as they're going into this pivotal shopping season?
I think this time of year is always important. I think, you know, whenever you come to, you know, a peak season, and I think, you know, we get many of them, right? You know, we have the 11/11 sales, which is a huge shopping experience within the AP region. The power of the data that we can provide to our customers, but also the intensity that we have from a throughput perspective. So really actually making sure that, you know, as an organization, you know, the data that is flowing around our systems as an organization is able to cope with the throughput that we expect. And I think that, you know, really then taking that data, you know, post analysis and really ensuring that they understand how those areas have performed, you know, very much as a sort of a post implement or a post holiday review. So let's say, of how, you know, how our platform has performed, how those peaks and troughs have really manifested themselves in terms of the additional sales that they have or haven't received or hoped to receive. And then really, you know, from that, really understanding and learning how, you know, they can use that data to better serve their customers next year. You know, what do they need to do next year that might, you know, enable them to sell maybe 10-15% more, or, you know, or process more transactions. So as, you know, as we move forward, you know, with this holiday period, I think, you know, it's absolutely vital that, you know, we have the, you know, we have the right data in the right place to enable those organizations to one, process those transactions here and now and today, and also to have that data in the background for them to be able to understand how they can do it even better next year.
Yeah, no, that is exciting. And I've done my fill of holiday shopping and my list is done. So I have provided all of those data resources, at least from my end.
It's very organized. I'm not quite there yet. My present shopping is still quite unstructured, I would say.
No, mine is done. And literally I have Legos in the gift closet that I still need to wrap. So mine is, well, in a way, mine is still unstructured because they're all in boxes. But come Christmas morning, I'm sure they'll be structured, and then it'll be my living room that is completely unstructured. that's for sure. So, okay, I told you I love to geek out a little bit. And so I'm hearing about all of our data and all the data that we're moving through our system. And so it begs the question, to quote the amazing Peter Parker principle, with great power comes great responsibility. How are we, and perhaps it's mainly, is it schemes, is it outside influences that are really ensuring the responsibility of the data in regards to screening, in regards to, you know, what we can see, what we can't see, what we can share?
But I think you're absolutely right. I think in terms of, we have a huge responsibility. You know, not all of those API calls will contain, you know, necessarily, you know, confidential or PII or PCI data, but we have to treat it as though every single piece of that data does. We need to ensure we have the appropriate safeguards around our data to manage that. And yeah, we have obviously guiding principles of how we safely and securely store our data within MasterCard. But as I said, you know, fundamentally, it really goes back to the fact that data is seen as an asset, And as with any asset, you know, whether that be your house or your car, you know, you ensure that you have the appropriate safeguards to ensure that you manage that in a safe and manageable way. You know, we're clear and transparent about how we use our data. You know, I think, you know, we're clear and transparent in terms of, you know, what we publish, you know, externally, and in terms of how we manage that data. You know, we ensure that, you know, when we have our contracts with our customers, you know, we're really clear about how we will and won't manage or utilize the data. And we ensure that we only retain the data that is required. So if we don't have a need or a requirement for the data, we get rid of it. And you know, we follow closely our retention guidelines for how we manage that data, because, you know, it's really, you know, it really is key that, you know, our customers need to have an assurance that, you know, we will be the custodian of that data. You know, an assurance that we as a trustworthy organization will manage their data in the right way. And, you know, as we, you know, I think, you know, obviously we're quite unique when it comes to other areas of MasterCard, and the fact that, you know, obviously as a platform, we're completely agnostic. You know, so we do, you know, we do see data relating to other schemes that maybe, you know, maybe other areas, or we definitely other areas of MasterCard don't have access to. And so, you know, it's really, you know, it's really key, you know, as an organization, and it's something that we, you know, absolutely hone into all of our employees, is ensuring that, you know, the use cases for the data that they're looking at are absolutely in line with the guidelines and principles that we, you know, as an organization set out. Because, you know, data has a value. You know, it's massively, massively valuable to people in the wrong hands as well. You know, and you know, it's something that, you know, luckily I don't have to lose a lot of sleep over, because, you know, we're very good at the moment about, you know, managing and using our data in the right ways. But, you know, you look at, you know, organizations that haven't done that in the past, and you know, there are significant penalties for us not doing that. So absolutely ensuring that, you know, we're seen as a trustworthy, data safe environment for our customers and our customers' data is absolutely something that, you know, we hold incredibly dear when we think about data and our customer data.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. And I love how data is so powerful and impactful. So it's the end of the year. And like, you know, many of our partners, I am sure we are, you know, we're planning for our post-holiday wrap-ups and seeing how we did, but we're also planning for the next year, for the new year, for 2022. This is one of my favorite things about the podcast is you have a captive audience, Jeff. As they're sitting down planning for 2022, how would you tell them or advise them to really put data at the heart of what their strategy is going to be?
I think it's a great question. And I think that, you know, whatever maturity you have within your organization for data, I think, you know, the first thing is always having a really strong foundation. However you utilize data within your organization, you know, having a really strong core to how you perceive and manage data within an organization is absolutely vital. Yeah, I think one of the things that, you know, we've really been driving here with MPGS is having really core fundamental principles about how we manage that data, but also clear roles and responsibilities for who manages and controls that data. And I think that, you know, whatever size of organization you're in, the power of data can always be enhanced and always can always be leveraged to a higher degree. And I think that, you know, with any organization we work with, I guess it's really trying to challenge yourselves about the depth and breadth of what you think about when you think about data. You know, how can you utilize that data to enhance your own products, to enhance your value proposition that you offer to customers? And really challenge us again, I guess, as well, to really see how we can provide, you know, greater granularity for you and your data to enable you to build your product and enhance your product and enhance your value proposition out to your customers. Because, you know, fundamentally, you know, we have masses of data that, you know, we're able to lay our hands on. And really, you know, we're here to help in any way that we can as an organization to help grow and shape, you know, how your data strategy will work off the back of our data that we can provide. So, you know, if you're listening to this and you're thinking like, how can I really enhance the value of my product for next year? Then, you know, think about the depth and breadth that we can, you know, we can bring from an MPGS perspective, and really, you know, reach out, think about how we can enhance the proposition that we can give to you, to really truly sort of see how, you know, we can unleash the power of, you know, our products to enhance your organization.
I'm just curious. So do you think that you would know, I mean, off the top of your head, you know, what is the percentage amount of data that we really utilize? I know we've got billions of API calls. We have, you know, massive amounts of data.
I think it's a ridiculous, I think it's like 10% of all data in organizations is actually utilized.
Wow.
So I can't remember. Absolutely. And I think that's the problem, right? You know, as I go back to sort of saying, like, a lot of data generally that we utilize probably for our organizations is based on the billing that we give to our customers. And to scratch the surface, you know, really the billing data only scratches the surface of what's available, because fundamentally we look at it and we say, right, you know, this is a transaction. It's in the 5 billion transactions we did in the year. Therefore, this is what we bill. And of that, you know, it starts to sort of really only scratch the surface of the granularity of the data that we can see below that. I'm pretty sure that, you know, most organizations really only scratch the surface. They very barely probably get below that 10% of data that they actually truly utilize. And if you think about the size, you know, if you think about, you know, what a billion transactions looks like from a data perspective, you know, it's massive. And if you think about, we're only using 10% of that from a data perspective, it's not even like it's a one-to-one relationship. It's a one-to-many relationship. And you think about, say, each one's got 10 data points in each one of those. Suddenly, I don't know what's 10 times billion, right? It's a big number. It's got lots of zeros. Let's put it that way. but how do we, you know, how do we start to take the value? You know, if we're only using 10% of that, you know, think about the level of data that potentially we have at our fingertips to add value with. I'm not saying every single piece of data within that, you know, lots of zero number has got a tangible value or even a value that we can use, right? And that's what, you know, it's really important that we only utilize the data that we can, you know, we can add value with. But, you know, the untapped piece of the untapped element of value in the data that we have is huge. And really, it's almost, yeah, I think if you think about it in terms of like a crossroads, right? You know, how, you know, when you get to a crossroads, you know, you can either go left, you can go right, you can go straight on, or you can go back on yourself. I always feel that, like, you know, we have to choose which path we want to take. And therefore, you know, I think, you know, by putting data at the heart of what we do, yeah, we go down a really strong route of really being able to deliver true value to our customers. And I think that, you know, the size and scale of data is scary. And I think that, you know, when people go, when people think about data, I think people think quite narrow. They think about, you know, they think about one or two little points that, you know, they perceive as data. And I think when you start to expand the reach of what data means and how data influences everything that we do, you know, it's a cosmos. It's massive. And I think that, you know, our role here is to really put that structure and I suppose cohesion around the outside of it to really ensure that, you know, we can do the storytelling, right? You know, I think everyone loves a story. You know, hopefully not fiction. You know, it's hopefully fact. But fundamentally, you know, I think too many times people fill in the gaps that they perceive to be there with fiction to a certain degree. And I think it's our job to ensure that, you know, it's 100% fact. You know, we need to be writing, you know, nonfiction. We need to be writing those stories out so that they are really powerful and positive. And that they are built, you know, we can build our foundations strongly on the data that we have within our organization. And people can see that it's trustworthy. You know, people know that when we provide data, that it's rubber stamped, that it's sealed, and it's signed, you know, sealed, signed, delivered, or signed, sealed, delivered even, that, you know, that we're giving them data that they can make critical business decisions on. Now, you know, not all data is always going to be 100% perfect, and you can't rely on 100% perfect data, because, you know, it probably doesn't exist. But getting as close to that as possible is absolutely what we try to strive for, to ensure that, you know, we can give as much confidence as possible within that data that someone can make a really strong, valid business case off the back of to really enhance the power and value of the products that we sell through our organization.
Wow, that is exciting. You know, so the gauntlet has been thrown, the challenge accepted. You know, our partners, we definitely encourage them to look at data and put that at the heart of what they do and see. Yeah, I mean, 10%. We are really skimming just the surface. That's astonishing on the amount that we can continue to grow at. Great. Well, thank you for joining us today, Jeff, and I'll talk to you soon.